Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, and this daily editorial is being recorded exclusively for our friends over at Kitco. I am chatting with Sean Broderick. He is an analyst over at Weiss Ratings. Now, Sean, we will get into some more of the commodity sectors, but first and foremost, the news that continues to drive markets now that we finally have that U.S. election for the most part behind us is all this news about vaccines. We now have two vaccines that have released some surprisingly impressive results, one from Pfizer that was just last week, and one from Moderna that was just yesterday. Now, Sean, we are seeing a bit of a rotation within U.S. equity markets, these so-called stay-at-home stocks or COVID stocks. They are, some of them, well off of their highs, while some of these lagging sectors, they've really started to garner a buy. Now, obviously, still have a long way to go to make up a lot of that negativity that was around them, but I have to ask you, is this a trend, this rotation into some of these lagging sectors, is this a trend that you're jumping on?
Well, yeah. Let's start with people are now selling stuff that is leveraged to the pandemic. We are seeing all-time high caseloads in the U.S., right? I mean, it's getting a lot worse before it gets better. So I wouldn't rush out of those pandemic stocks just yet. However, investors can see light at the end of the tunnel. And so, yeah, we are rotating into, stocks that can really ride the next economic growth cycle. That seems like an obvious play. We have two great vaccines. The second one, by the way, Moderna, I don't know if you know this, a Dolly Parton helped fund that vaccine. She's like one of the people behind it. She knew we were facing a big crisis, so she invested money in like coming up with a vaccine with Moderna, which I think is a great use of her time and talent. Thank God. So hopefully she can write a song about this at the end. But so yeah, I think people see these things happening. That's why oil had such a great move, though it's up against overhead resistance now. But yeah, we had an oil stock and like one of my publication banks are looking better, so much better, because now finally they can start to plan on an end to people staying at home all the time. It's still 3 to 6 months away. I mean, we'll see the first responders. They'll all have the drug probably, or I should say drugs, and there's more on the way. Probably by the end of the first quarter, the rest of us may not be till the second quarter. There's still many, many processes these things have to go through. So it isn't going to be immediate. People have to understand that. But at the same time, I think you can buy those economic growth stocks because just the money is rotating into it. There's so much money washing around this market because the Fed was panicking, thinking things could really fall apart. So they flooded it with money. And all that money is looking for a place to go right now. And so when you say economic growth and you say this is going to happen down the road, that's what the money looks for. And that's why you see, these things moving now. I don't think the move is over. I think the move has a long way to go, especially when you look at things like lithium, electric batteries, renewable energy. That'll get a boost from the next administration, probably. There's a lot of things you can invest in. Industrial metals, we're certainly moving into that, because there's already talk of a big infrastructure program here in the U.S. China has its own infrastructure program that it's rolled out. Europe is working on one. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And yes, this is definitely a time when you can put some money to work.
So, Sean, you even outlined it there. The fact of the matter is the Northern Hemisphere, we're still in arguably maybe even the early stages of the second wave, and it's really picking up steam. And that's the one thing that has me taking a step back from this aggressive rotation that we've seen is, yes, we have gotten some good news on the vaccine front, but that's still going to take its time to actually get a vaccine out into the public and then actually get people to actually take that vaccine. While we're waiting for all this, it seems like we're going more in the direction of lockdown. So that was my whole point there. Isn't it a little bit too early to jump aggressively on these trends? Or do you think that the market is able to look past the next, who knows how long, 3-6 months where we're still dealing with the virus?
Right. Well, you raise a great point. Am I being too aggressive on this? That's something I asked myself in the middle of the night. You know, I'm not really sure, but it seems like the market has become more and more disconnected from the everyday economy. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the food bank lines down in Texas where they have cars stretching for miles and miles, where like people are hoping to get food for their families and stuff. The real economy is crap right now. However, investors are looking toward the future. And I think there's probably more good news to come. We have two vaccines. There are going to be more coming out. Now, an interesting thing that happened when this most recent vaccine rolled out, as you just said yesterday, gold sold off $10 early on in the day, you know, and then rallied back. Now it's down a little under $2. So it's not taking the big hit that it did when the first vaccine rolled out. So maybe there's some kind of realization that this thing isn't going away overnight, or else also gold has many other drivers beyond the pandemic. There's many things going good for gold. So maybe investors are just saying, yeah, that really doesn't matter. So that could be. And if we go into a severe lockdown across the U.S., then I think you would be right. However, we have tried a severe lockdown and it doesn't work, because the only way that works, as we saw in places like Australia and New Zealand and stuff like that, is if everybody does it. And here in America, we're a bunch of individualists. Nobody cooperates, you know, so they are going to come up with solutions. And yeah, they'll close restaurants and gyms and stuff like that. I don't think we're going full lockdown. For one thing, President Trump has said we aren't locking down. So there's that. So individual governors can. But I think the more, let's say, useful thing would be to teach people to learn with this and mitigate risk. If everybody wears masks, we can cut down transmission by about 90%. That is a huge thing. Now, you have plenty of idiots out there who say, you know, you're infringing on my freedoms. I don't want to wear a mask. You know, that is a problem we have in the U.S. But I think education will really help people. I don't think we're going into lockdown, just to come back to that. Not a national lockdown. That's not going to happen. State by state, you might see it. Or maybe we'll say, you know what, people are just going to get on with their lives anyway. Maybe we can mitigate risk by teaching people to use masks, by just having smaller group sizes, by moving things outside as much as possible, even though it's the wintertime. I understand that. Or I should say moving on to the wintertime. So I think we'll not be locking down as much as mitigating risk. But in the end, we aren't really sure how things go. Maybe you'll be right. Maybe I'm being too aggressive on this. But when I look at all that money sitting on the sidelines, and when I think of all the well-heeled investors who are kind of disconnected from the everyday Joe and Jane reality, and they have all this money to put to work, and they can see that the vaccines are coming, I think what they'll say is, you know what, I'm going to start buying this stuff. Every dip, I'm just going to buy it. And so that's the kind of way that I'm trying to get ahead of.
Hey, fair enough, Sean. You know what? I hope we don't go into more of a lockdown stage, but I've just seen some of the progression, at least where I live in Vancouver, and some of the words from the health authority that is making me think that they could try some more of these lockdowns. Maybe not in the same scale that we saw earlier this year, but again, it's just such a moving target. Let's dive a bit more into these metal sectors, though. You mentioned industrial metals and how you are at least a bit more optimistic about an infrastructure program in the U.S. I have to say I've heard this argument, this bullish argument, for years now, and we haven't gotten any solid infrastructure bill. And the way that the U.S. election went, we still have very much a divided government in the U.S. What gives you confidence now that says an infrastructure bill could happen, which would obviously greatly impact the industrial metals?
Right. You're absolutely right. Mitch McConnell still runs the Senate, and the likelihood is, even after the elections they're going to have in December, he'll still run the Senate. And as we remember from the Obama administration, he blocked everything. He blocked everything, did not want anything to go through, because he wanted to make Obama look bad. We can think he'll probably try to do the same to Biden. Okay, that's a problem. On the other hand, there are things that the government can do, that the federal government can do, and also there is tremendous pressure from industries and also on the state level saying we need jobs. The jobs went away. We need jobs. Infrastructure is an easy way to do it. We may not get the $4 billion infrastructure plan that, you know, the like Engineers Association says we need, but we can probably get, that's a $4 trillion plan. Probably won't get that, but we can at least get, you know, $500 billion, maybe a trillion. Something will be worked out because there's too many senators that I think will not want to go home and like tell people, well, you know what? We just didn't want things to work out for the other team. So we didn't come up with an infrastructure plan. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we will see some level of actual cooperation. And then there's the global demand. One thing that's huge is electric vehicles. The amount of new factories for the batteries for those electric vehicles being built exploded this year. It just soared. They're being built all over the place. And the U.S. and North America, for that matter, is really a laggard in this. We're seeing many more built overseas. What do they need for electric cars? You need lithium, of course, but you also need copper. You need aluminum. You need nickel. You need so many, many things. And those are the industrial metals that are just going to be in serious demand as that moves forward. And also worldwide, right, we saw real suppression of demand over this past year. It'll probably continue through December. But once we have the vaccine, that demand will come back for all sorts of things made out of stuff, made out of steel, made out of all the metals you can think of. And so worldwide, we are going to see a boom. Whether the U.S. participates to a lesser or a greater degree, you know, I mean, it would be good for us if we do, but we might not. As an investor, you have to look at the fact that globally there's going to be a rebound, and globally demand for those metals will be up. And so that's what I'm looking at.
Okay. Let's also talk about battery metals. And lithium has been doing well. There has been this, I guess, renewed interest in some of these battery metals. They've been a bit more under the radar as everyone has continued to be focused on the precious metals. We'll get into the precious metals after this, but battery metals, lithium in particular, bullish, bearish, neutral, where do you stand?
Really interesting with lithium in that it's been under pressure all year, really been going down. But the reason for that is the pandemic. Because, you know, that really suppressed car sales. What did we just see in China in October? Car sales jumped by something like 12%, led by electric vehicles. That's what they're selling the most of over there, just a huge amount. So I think we're at a turning point for lithium, for all of the electric vehicle things, things like nickel and copper and like stuff like that. So we're at that turning point. So they have been compressed so far this year, and I'll understand anyone who really is in a show-me kind of mood. I understand, you know, because they haven't done anything so far this year. But it's probably true that as that vaccine, or I should say vaccines, roll out, we are going to see even more demand. People who've been putting off buying a car forever finally have a reason to go out and buy a car. So we'll see more and more of that happen. And so, yeah, I'm quite bullish on those things, and that's how I'm like trying to guide my subscribers now is to get positioned for what's coming next year.
So whether it's industrial metals or battery metals, do you have a bit more of a focus towards North American production because of the fighting that's going on between countries?
You know, that whole tariff thing, that was really a Trump thing. I'm not sure we'll see much of that in the next year or so. I recommended one steel company to my subscribers that actually sells all over the world, kind of taking a global approach again, because we don't know what's going to happen with the U.S. We really need to see those elections decided in Georgia in December. And they might not even be decided. What if those elections are like so hard fought and so close that nothing gets decided and it drags on for a while? I'll take you back to, I think it was 2016. Al Franken wasn't seated in his seat as a senator for like 6 months because of the court fight that went on for that. Weird things happen in the U.S. election system, but think globally, and you can see the demand for these metals is very, very good. Elon Musk is not the only one who builds electric cars. They're built all over the world, and they're building more and more of them all the time. And so just have a global outlook, and I think you'll be all right.
All right, let's wrap it up with some comments on the precious metals. Gold, I think it was beginning of last week, had a pretty rough day after that Pfizer news. Dropped about $100 from peak to trough, but it has recovered a lot of those losses. Still very much just in this range that it's been trading in. Again, it's been a very good year for gold, so even just a sideways move to the end of the year, I think that's still very positive for the precious metal. But how are you taking this volatility but still very range-bound nature of precious metals?
Extremely range-bound. If you look at gold, it went back and it just tested that support from September. That seems to be the base. And so now it could range back. You know, is it going to break out again? I think in the next year it is. Question is, when is that breakout going to be? My subscribers still have plenty of precious metals companies, you know, and we own the good ones, and they are leverage for what comes next. And so it could happen at like any time, because all the underlying fundamentals didn't change, really. The governments are still printing money like crazy, and it's not just our government. It's around the world. They're going nuts. And just the economic stresses, all the stresses on the global financial system, there's many, many good reasons to own gold. And if you don't like gold, can I just mention this? Cannabis is having a great year, a fantastic year. Look at the cannabis stocks, especially here in the U.S. I mean, we actually saw one truly report earnings on like Tuesday and missed. And it sold off in the morning, and it bought right back up, and it closed. It just roared higher. Why? Because people see the opportunity. They see the growth picture in these stocks and say, I need a piece of that. Any pullback that comes along, I want to buy it. So just to recap, I'm still bullish longer term on gold. It's range bound now. I don't know when the next breakout will be. I'll still be buying selectively. But there are other things that are working out very, very well. And so you can just have some of your money in gold, in miners, in silver, in like silver miners, and just wait for the stuff to percolate and like break out. In the meantime, there's other stuff you can do. Let me mention one more stock, by the way, SILV, which is Silvercrest. That's like one of the silver explorers we own. They have a project down in Mexico. The bonanza grades they just reported were insane. On a day when most gold and silver stocks went down, Silvercrest, it was going higher. That thing just gets better and better and better. So that just brings me to the point that there's still great values in gold and silver, especially when you have the kind of sell-off that we've seen in the past couple months. That means that, you know, there was hot air, maybe things were getting bid up a little bit, but now they're sold off down to a certain level. And we just saw gold hold that support from September. Great. You want to get in near the lows. You know, if you don't have enough money at work in that sector, now's the time to be looking. So I'll just end with that.
All right. Well, Sean, great having you on the show. Always fun chatting with you every 2 weeks. And I hope everybody at Kitco enjoyed this conversation as well. Be sure to come visit our website, kereport.com, for a number of other daily editorials released every day and our 2-hour weekend show. Sean, thanks for your time, buddy. I'll chat with you in a couple weeks.
Thanks. You have a great one.